All Things Are Possible, Part 18. Remind you of some of our foundational text, Mark chapter 10, verse 27. With God it is, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Jesus also said in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, all things are possible to him that believes. So it's with God, and it's to him that believes that all things are possible. Amen. Can't leave God out, and you can't leave faith out. Amen. God is the source, but then we got to hook in our faith to the source. And in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus declared that we must not doubt in the heart or in the spirit in order to believe and get results. So, as I've repeated over and over again, that we focused on the word doubt and its meaning in our study, because Jesus made it a central issue in order for us to believe and get results. Amen. We saw that doubt meant wavering and hesitation and indecision and being irresolute and having unresolved questions of doubt concerning the word and the promises and the covenant of God. And we also saw that doubt has to do with strife and unforgiveness. And those are things that can't stay in the heart if we're not the doubt in the heart. And we began seeing the next big one that needs to be corrected for faith to produce, and that's pride. And we saw how it connects, how pride has to be gotten out of the heart in order for faith to function from Habakkuk 2:4, which, by the way, Paul quotes part of it when he says the just shall live by faith. But he doesn't quote the whole verse, and I think it's really necessary. Habakkuk 2:4, behold, the soul of him is lifted up, or it is of pride, and is not upright, but the just shall live by faith. So we know that pride is in complete opposition to faith, and that God hates pride, and he opposes pride, and he stands against it. Now, we said a lot, folks. You need to really go back and listen to everything that we've said about this, because it is essential. And let me read to you, again, a portion of Scripture in James chapter 4, because I told you yesterday that it's arrogance and pride. If you remember, we talked about being arrogance and pride to call yourself some office of ministry that you're not, but we also found out that it's arrogance and pride to move to a city just because you got offered a job, or just because you want to, or because you want to start out fresh, and you forget to ask God for his direction and his will in the matter. You just get up and jump and go to a different church just because you want to, when God hasn't given you direction to go somewhere else. And you better find out from God what you need to do. You need to pray and find out his will in the matter. Some people are in the wrong job. They're in the wrong state. They're in the wrong church. They're in the wrong city because they're doing their own thing and they've never heard from God. Well, James chapter 4, verse 17, 4, chapter 13, excuse me, James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, I'm going to get it right, amen, talks about this and tells us that we should be asking if the Lord wills concerning these things, amen. And then in verse 16, he said, but now you go on glorying in your boasting or in your pride. The Bible in basic English says, and all such glorying or boasting is evil. Well, we said that this Greek word pride means being ostentatious, pretentious, or braggadocio, and that these words have a lot of synonyms. And this word from the Greek that's translated pride means being showy, brazen, unashamed in wrongdoing, flamboyant and gaudy, lurid, grandiose, pompous, snobbish, conceited, vain, thinking you're all that, you know, that you're so high and mighty, stuck up and self-important? Oh, boy. Brassy, vulgar, rude, foul, discourteous, impolite, ill-mannered and tasteless, and a bragger? One full of haughtiness, pride, an attention seeker, and a show-off? Woo! That's some tough stuff. Wow. Well, it angers pride. We saw from the book of 2 Chronicles yesterday that it angers pride to be corrected because it never wants to admit it's wrong. And, you know, Hezekiah got angry when he went into the temple and he took a censer of incense and started waving it in the temple as though he were a priest, and he was never called into that. And then one of the priests came out and corrected him, and he got angry, and he was wroth, it says. Well, pride gets angry when it's corrected. It doesn't like to admit it's wrong. And in the King James Bible, and I'm going to start giving you a lot of scripture, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7, he that reproves a scorner gets to himself shame. But now I'm going to read to you this from the Bible in basic English because it really drives home our point. Listen, he who gives teaching to a man of pride. Now that's the way the Bible in basic English translates, and it does so very well, I might add, from the Hebrew. The word scorner means a person or man of pride. It could be a woman of pride too, you know, but a person of pride gets shame for himself. He who says sharp words to a sinner gets a bad name. Do you say sharp words to a person of pride? Do not say sharp words to a person of pride, or he will have hate words for you. Make them clear to a wise man, and you will be dear to him. Now, see, that's the difference. So, now, when it says sharp words here, it's actually talking about a rebuke or a reprove. You rebuke a scorner or a person that has pride, well, they get shame for themselves. And frankly, you rebuke a sinner, and they're going to hate you for it. They're not going to like it because they're over into pride. And there's some Christians like that too. You can't rebuke them. You can't correct them because they'll get mad at you. They'll get angry when you correct them according to the word. And you do it in love, you know, you do it according to the word. You do it the way the Spirit of God gives it to you, and they don't like it. Why? It's pride. Amen. He said, but if you got some wisdom, then you're going to accept correction. But you see, the scorner, the prideful one, is also the one that mocks people and speaks arrogantly and derides and boasts and is inflated, puffed up. And I'll say more about that a little later, but that's the person of pride. Now this stuff has got to go from the heart. It can't exist there if we're to believe and if we're not to have doubt in the heart. Amen. And you remember I gave you that scripture from Habakkuk 2:4? But there's another scripture in Romans 3:27 from the Bible in basic English again that says, what reason then is there for pride? It is shut out by what sort of law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. See, faith, if it's operating in the heart, excludes pride. But we've seen the other side to it, and that is if pride is in the heart, it will exclude faith. One will exclude the other. Amen. Now let me read to you a scripture in the book of Psalms, chapter 131 and verse 1. A song of the going up of David. Lord, now this is the Bible in basic English again. I like it in this translation. There is no pride in my heart. Notice this. Notice where the pride is, in the heart. And my eyes are not lifted up. Amen. And I have not taken part in great undertakings, nor in things over hard for me. Aha, and then that's Psalms 131:1, and then Proverbs 21:4, a high look and a heart of pride. Notice, a heart of pride of the evildoer is sin. Now look at Proverbs 1:22. How long, you simple ones, will foolish things be dear to you, and pride a delight to the haters of authority? Ooh, pride doesn't like to be told what to do. Ooh. How long will the foolish go on hating knowledge? Pride hates knowledge. I mean the knowledge of God. Pride doesn't admit it doesn't know. Did you get that? Let me say it again. Pride doesn't admit it doesn't know. It doesn't like the fact that it doesn't know. Pride is the original know-it-all. Tell somebody in pride about something new that you saw in the Word, and they'll lie to you in your face and act as though they already knew it. Oh boy, have you ever started counseling people and started giving them scripture only to have them say, well, yeah, I know that, or I already knew those verses. Well, if they really did know them, then they would be believing them and doing them and be free, according to James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. But you see, pride is a liar, and it lies consistently. It's opposed to the truth, and it's and speaking the truth. It won't tell the truth, because it's the nature of the devil, who is the father of lies. He's the original liar. Sometimes pride takes the opposite form, and people take pride in the fact that they don't know as much, and that their family comes from a poor background. You ever heard people say this? Some people are very proud of their lack and poverty and sickness and pain. I mean, they wear it like a badge of honor when all it is the work of the enemy. You ever heard people say stuff like, oh yeah, we're poor, but you know, we're proud. Well, pride is proud of its education and knowledge and vaunts it and looks down on those that don't have it. Actually, pride thinks nobody else has their understanding of the subject at hand. Even if you were the only person on the planet with certain knowledge in the area of science, for example, or even the Bible or some other field, before you knew it, God already knew it from the beginning. So it's not new, boy and girl. It's not new, men and women. It's not new, preacher or saint. God knew it before we ever knew it. Amen. Now, some people on the opposite end of the spectrum are proud because of their lack of education. It's all pride. I remember one person that was so proud that all they had was a fifth grade education, and look at all that they had done. Well, this is not of God, folks. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3 says, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The Bible in basic English says, say no more words of pride. Listen to the Good News Bible of this verse in 1 Samuel 2:3 says, stop your loud boasting, silence your proud words, for the Lord is a God who knows, and he judges all that people do. Have you ever heard people use the phrase, I am proud of this, or proud of that? They use that way too often, and we really need to examine how we use the words pride and proud and renew our minds to understand that pride is of the enemy. It's not of God. Instead of saying that we're proud of our children and use the character trait of the enemy to express ourselves? Why not express our joy, our great satisfaction, and how blessed we are that they are doing well or excelling? Instead of saying and putting on our bumper stickers, "We're the proud parents of a child or a military service member or an athlete or a team," and so on, why not speak of the joy, the great satisfaction, how much they honor you or how honored you are in what they're doing and how blessed you are, and so on? Why use the word pride to identify your feelings or your character when you know that's of the devil? Other people say, "I'm proud of my achievements." You ever heard that? "I take pride in my work." And all of that is Satan's strategy to keep people bound with pride with the words of their own mouth. You ever heard, "I'm proud to be an American"? That's all of the devil, folks. "I'm proud to be Hispanic," or "I'm proud to be Italian," or "I'm proud to be of this nation or that nation." That's all of the devil. They're all traps. You ever heard, "I'm a proud supporter of this or that"? They are all traps, and we need to remove them from our vocabulary in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I believe that we do, and we'll come back with some more teaching tomorrow. Amen.